This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You
know it's Taz and Moose. Hey. We are back, back. Taz and the Moose with you. CBS Sports Radio, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, top 3 to 6 Pacific as we go. We thank all of our affiliates across the country, Sirius and XM 206. The app as well, as we come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Can't play it, talk it. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We've got Connor and Pete the Body across the way. We have, who's got updates this morning?
Brett Heller. That's Brett.
Brett Heller. Well, I forget.
Heller.
Good morning, Taz.
Oh, Moose, how are you?
How are you? I'm doing well.
Sometimes I Brad Heller's name, I could mess it up.
Bobby Heller, Brad Heller.
There's another one. I thought his name was Connor. There was Bob Feller, I called
him. Bob Feller. Yeah. Nice. Did you really? Was that a?
Dude, that's a shoot. That's real. Right
there. That's real.
That's real. You were on vacation.
And you called him Bob Feller?
I called
him. That's tremendous. That's great. That's great.
What a way to start a show.
Bob Feller with the updates.
Bob Feller with the updates.
Really? Connor Heller.
He looks like a Connor. He does.
You can see that. Yeah. Brad Heller. Brad Heller's got your updates throughout the course of the morning as we take you for the next 3 hours right here on CBS Sports Radio. And we've got a lot of things to get into. Taz, and first and foremost, let's start here. And that is with the GQ magazine article and Jalen Ramsey. Basically taking a blowtorch to everybody in the National Football League that happens
That's
to throw
the best
a football.
Way to put it, right?
I mean, that is what Jalen Ramsey did.
Blowtorch.
Eli Manning, Big Ben. I mean, there were a couple guys that he said were fine. Rodgers and Tom Brady and Drew Brees. He defended his own quarterback in Blake Bortles. But
even the compliments weren't really compliments.
No, like, right. I mean, it wasn't like over the top, oh, he's great, this and that. He said Joe Flacco sucks.
Oh, yeah, that's flat. It just sucks.
Right,
yeah.
So Jalen Ramsey and grabs headlines. Now, I'll tell you, there's a number of ways you can go about looking at it.
Yeah.
Here's the one way I would say. He's trying to create a brand for himself.
Of course. He's doing a good job.
And he's doing a very good job. We've talked about it time and time again. Personalities in the NBA sell. The National Football League, maybe you don't get as much. You probably need a little bit more. Major League Baseball, you need more. National Hockey League, you need a ton more. So for the National Football League, I think this article is actually a good thing. For Jalen Ramsey, I think it's actually a good thing because I think you need more of this because you know what? You're talking about Ramsey. You're talking about the NFL, and he is making no bones about it. Come after me if you're one of those big-time quarterbacks. I'm going to go out and embarrass you.
I agree. A lot of people are ticked off what he said here in this article. A lot of people I don't think realize what's the goal, right? I mean, what's the goal of a defensive back, nevertheless a cornerback? He wants to get in the head of the receiver and the wide receiver and the quarterback. This is a perfect way to do that. This is a perfect way. And he was a little harsher, I think, on the AFC quarterbacks because, you know, the Jaguars are in the AFC.
Yep.
And even about what he said about his own quarterback, about Blake Bortles, he goes, well, Blake, do what he got to do. That's what he said about his own quarterback. Like, he kind of ripped him. I think the worst one was Roethlisberger. He said, decent at best.
Decent at best.
That's what he said about him. Josh Allen, he ripped the rookie quarterback from my Bills. He's trash.
Wow.
People
go crazy. Here's what drives me nuts, right? And at some point in time, Jalen Ramsey had to be laughing yesterday. People go crazy.
Yeah, I know.
How dare you insult Eli Manning?
I know.
He's a two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback. Don't you understand? Odell Beckham Jr. wasn't there when he credits OBJ, you know, making Eli Manning. And meanwhile, it's the same people that rip Eli Manning and say he's not a great regular season quarterback. They're offended that Jalen Ramsey knocked Eli Manning. I'm not telling you what Jalen Ramsey said was correct. No, it's incorrect. I mean, Eli does deserve credit, but you're playing right into the hands. I mean, Josh Allen is trash. This guy, Kirk Cousins, is a winner. Kirk Cousins hasn't won anything in his life.
Who's the two best?
What has Kirk Cousins won in the National Football League? Nothing.
I think we'd both agree on, and the audience listening to us would agree on, who are the two best current quarterbacks playing today? Who? Brady
and Rodgers.
And Rodgers. About both of them, Jalen Ramsey said, doesn't suck. Yeah. About each guy.
Right.
That's not exactly a ringing
endorsement. That's not exactly right. It's not over the top. That's a five-star restaurant. That is
they don't suck.
Right. Nothing. So I look at it, Taz, and I say, you need more of this.
Yeah.
This is good for the National Football League. This GQ magazine article is fresh. It's good. It's a positive. It's not a negative. Don't get all carried away with it. Jalen Ramsey is trying to brand himself as a trash-talking, stop-all-comers kind of cornerback in the National Football League for the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's what he's trying to do. Set a tone and a tempo for that defense and for his play. That is what he is trying to do. So if that's the case, you need more of this, not less of it. And don't lose your mind when a guy decides to talk a little trash in the GQ magazine.
Right, I know. And we've seen cornerbacks do this. Like Richard Sherman, he don't talk some trash. I mean, that's what these guys do. I mean, Darrelle Revis, as far as the great corners, when Darrelle was great, he was probably one of the only ones, I'm exaggerating, he was one of the few that didn't do that. But a lot of these guys over there, Josh Norman. How about Josh Norman?
Norman talking trash all the time.
Josh Norman, he was always talking trash.
No doubt.
That's what these corners do. Dude, I really believe you're right. It's about building a brand, but not just that. I do think they want to get in that QB's head. They want to rent space in that offensive player's head, the wide receiver and the quarterback. They want to mess with them so they could get them a little tense, stressed, whatever, during the game. Lord knows how much trash Jalen Ramsey talks during the game. That's a whole nother story.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he's talking a ton of trash. And he did it at Florida State. I'm sure he does it at Jacksonville. And you're right. I mean, that comes part and parcel with being a corner. Some guys are quiet assassins. Some guys like to tell you how good they are and like to play up to it and like to try and get into your head. And that's exactly what Jalen Ramsey does like to do. And Taz, he's a wonderful player. See, the issue you have is if someone calls out and say, how dare Jalen Ramsey? Well, Ramsey's one of the best corners in the National Football League.
He might be the best, bro.
Right.
I mean, he's really good.
He is that good of a player. So it's not a case of some fifth corner, third corner, nickel corner, guy talking smack, trying to make a name for himself. Jalen Ramsey's already made a name for himself. Jalen Ramsey has already accomplished something in the National Football League. Now he's trying to take it to another level.
Garoppolo. This is what he said about Garoppolo. Guess he's good. I love this stuff.
It's fantastic.
I can read these all day.
It is fantastic.
He said about Nick Foles, good enough to win a Super Bowl. So I guess that's a compliment.
That is a compliment. We should all be good enough to win a Super Bowl, right? Here is Josh Allen on Jalen Ramsey's comments.
He's not on my team. He's not my teammate. Don't bother me.
How do you deal with that type of stuff? Outside criticism. Players saying different things. You seem
I don't care. You know, it doesn't bother me one bit. I care about my teammates, what my teammates think of me. When I step on the field, ultimately, I'm trying to win football games and trying to be the best quarterback for this team as possible.
Good for Josh Allen. He's a rookie quarterback. He handled that the right way.
He did.
Maybe not as good as a veteran quarterback here in New York, but I think that Josh handled it well.
Here is Eli Manning, speaking of.
Jalen Ramsey made a comment that at this point in your career, you're only a good quarterback because of your connection with Odell Beckham. Do you have any comment on that or any retort?
No. Who?
Yeah, he said who. I mean,
that is epic. But
you could tell on Eli Manning's face he was bothered. Yeah, Eli's tired of hearing the questions.
Yeah.
And here being asked about how good he is, where does he face, where does he fall in the pantheon of NFL quarterbacks? Is he elite? How dare you say that you're on the level of Tom Brady? Eli's tired of that.
Wow, you're pulling out Pantheon at 6:09
a.m. Yes.
9 minutes after the hour, Pantheon.
But you get what I mean. You can tell on his face. You can't tell in the audio, but if you actually watch Eli Manning's face, you can tell he's like, oh, my God, again?
Yeah, he's
we're coming after. Yeah, they're coming. Why can't you just leave me alone? I'm an old man now. I'm 35, 36 years of age. Stop beating on me.
I just want to talk about Barkley's quads.
Yeah, right, exactly. Can we get back to talking about Barkley's hamstring injury? And why he's not, and how severe it is? When is he going to be available?
Can we talk about how big Barkley's calves are?
Yes.
Got to be 20 inches each.
Oh, my God.
That's what Eli wants to talk about.
As big as my head.
He's got great quads.
Yes. But
it's crazy, man. It's funny.
The power that Ramsey has, every one of these guys, for the most part, got asked questions about Jalen Ramsey. Josh Allen, Eli Manning go up and down, go around the National Football League, all because of a GQ magazine article where basically everybody and their mother looks at the comments that Jalen Ramsey says, oh, you know what? That's off base. That's not true. That's not real. That doesn't make any sense. But every single person, every single media member went up to one of those respective quarterbacks, basically, almost, and asked them questions about Jalen Ramsey's comments.
Andrew Luck, don't think he's good. Now, by the way, meanwhile, he's suspended, Ramsey. He's on suspension right now.
We got into that. Remember, there was the fight at practice.
And
then he basically threatened media members on Twitter.
He wasn't even in the actual physical fight.
No.
He just went on attacked people in the media, which was
funny. Dante Fowler got into it with during practice, and after practice got into it with a teammate off the field.
He got pissed people.
And then media members were filming it, Jalen Ramsey threatened those media members on social media.
Yeah.
Not to release that video.
So some people have.
So therefore, they were suspended.
Had a little bit of a narrative that Coughlin and crew with the Jaguars maybe were a little harsh that they suspended Ramsey because of that, but maybe they knew about this GQ article, and they, you know, I would assume front offices are reading the stuff before. I know in WWE, like if you do an interview or something like this with print, the office has to clear it.
It comes out beforehand.
Yeah, they see it ahead of time. Let me ask you, is this
really something to suspend Jalen Ramsey over?
No, but Tom Coughlin's a tough egg, you know.
He is, but how could you?
I agree. It's not.
Right. You can look at it that way, and you're right. Usually you get the piece before everybody else.
The office gets it.
The office gets it. The corporation gets it.
They approve it.
Right, exactly. So with that being said, if that's the case, Taz, I don't think it's the case. I'm going to say that I'm not going to connect the dots there. I'm going to believe that Jalen Ramsey got suspended because of everything in the fallout with Dante Fowler. However, if you're telling me that he gets suspended for that, I'm going to tell you that's complete and utter bogus. It's bogus.
You know what he said about Tyrod Taylor?
What?
Underrated.
Yeah.
I just read that one. I kind of like that.
He threw out some compliments.
He did. Not many.
No, not many. But he did throw out some compliments.
They weren't ringing in Dak Prescott. He's okay.
Yeah, he's okay.
He's okay.
Yeah. So you look at it overall for Jalen Ramsey and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now they have to clean up the mess and the issue they have there. And I don't necessarily think it's all that much of a mess whatsoever. But the Jaguars are setting a tone of what they're going to be like here during the course of this NFL regular season in 2018.
Man.
And they're hoping to be a team to be reckoned with. And I kind of like it. I'm not a huge Bortles fan. You and I went back and forth last year on Blake Bortles. You like him.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of Bortles. I'll give him credit for where he took that team a year ago. But with Leonard Fournette, with that offense, with what that defense potentially could go out there and beat, Taz, when 100% healthy, the Jaguars are looking to take their team to another level, and Jalen Ramsey's got to be on the court and be able to do it.
Absolutely. Listen, Ramsey is a handful, right? We know that. You could only imagine. I would assume for the coaching staff, his position coach, usually the position coach, right, as you know, is usually closest to the actual players in that position. So the cornerbacks, the defensive back coach has got to be like, yo, Jalen, you got to chill a little bit.
Yeah.
But this is his game. This is what he does. And he is a handful, but, I mean, it's kind of worth the headache because this guy's that good of a defensive player and that good of a cornerback.
He's an unbelievable player. Yeah. He is. And for the Jaguars and for Ramsey, he has set a tone. Want to hear from you at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. What's your take on what Jalen Ramsey had to say in the GQ magazine article? Does it deserve all the attention that is getting it? Do you love it? Do you hate it? Do you like it? Want to hear from you. 855-212-4227. Also, hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at Taz of the Moose, at official Taz1Z, at Mark Malusis with a C, as we're just getting going here on this Thursday morning. Taz of the Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Anybody heard from the regular producer of Taz and the Moose, Mike Buseglia, at all? I know he's on vacation.
I did yesterday. He's up at Saratoga.
Oh, really? You heard from him?
Yes, he's texted.
What is he? He's betting the ponies? What is
he was up there with his with his family.
I don't hear from him. How come he didn't contact me?
Well, he's asking me for my track expertise.
Shocking.
Yes.
I see. Yes. Okay.
He was. He was asking me, what should I do first time up at Saratoga?
You're the wrong guy to ask. Well, you might send him on the wrong way.
Well,
that guy might be going for his lungs.
And then I didn't give him, a buddy of mine, and I gave him a couple picks. I told him what to do and go from there.
Did he ask for me?
No. Okay. He didn't. We didn't really talk about the show. He was just asking about Saratoga.
I thought maybe you guys are regrouping about the show. Nothing.
No, we did not. No, he was on vacation.
Did you mention me?
No, on text, no.
Okay, I was just wondering.
No, I don't believe so.
All right, it's all right. Sometimes it's nice to be loved. You know?
Are loved. Why? Just because he asked me about the racetrack?
Well, I like
that. Told him you got to go to the Big Red Spring, have a sip of the natural spring water.
I'm sure you told him more about the spring water. You're telling him what horses to bet. Let's be honest here.
I gave him some picks.
You know who's back in the update chair here? We got Brad here. He's freezing. You're sitting there, Brad, shivering. Brad Heller, ladies and gentlemen.
I need a blanket. It is legitimately freezing.
It's like 67, 66 degrees in here.
And it's 76. Nice. When I walked into the other studio I'm in, it's 76 degrees.
It's like the Bahamas outside
literally,
of here.
Yeah. I need a change of clothes.
Yeah, we keep it dark and cold in here. In here, you're shivering.
Well, now, and the other issue you have is, I didn't even know you were working with us this morning because you were in the other room. You were tucked away.
Yeah, he doesn't really communicate. Room. Yeah, he stays in the side room, Brad.
Brad Heller.
Bobby Heller.
Yeah. Bob Feller, Brad Heller.
Jim Heller.
You threw out every first name in the book. That? Oh, I do. Connor I just Heller. Sat here. I was like, he'll get it eventually, I hope. And nine names later, I'm like, wow, this isn't happening.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Ben Heller, he didn't even try to help me.
No, I was just
laid out.
I'm like, it's got to come to you at some point. You're running out of names.
Yes.
Frankie Heller. Bob Heller.
At least he was around the right name.
I was close. It's all rhymed together. Yeah.
Brad, good morning, man. Take it away. Brad,
good morning, guys. This report's brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Well, you don't usually see the manager as the first one out of the dugout when the bench is clear, but that was the case Wednesday night in Atlanta. Braves skipper Brian Snitker rushed out to protect star rookie Ronald Acuna Jr., who was drilled in the elbow by Jose Urena's very first pitch.
I think it's pretty evident what I thought about it. It's a shame.
Mm-hmm.
This young man is just playing the game, doing what he's loves to do, and that's just a damn shame what happened that first pitch of the game.
Acuna had homered in five straight games. X-rays on his elbow were negative. No punches were thrown, by the way. Snitker was ejected. So was Urena. The Braves finished off a four-game sweep of the Marlins 5-2. Atlanta's lead in the NL East. Still two games on the Phillies, who beat the Red Sox in Philadelphia 7-4. What a debut for Wilson Ramos as a Philly. He had three RBIs. The Cardinals won their eighth in a row, 4-2 over the Nationals. The Cards still four games behind the Cubs in the Central. Chicago extending its lead to three games on the Brewers with an 8-4 win over Milwaukee. The Astros snapped their five-game losing streak, a 12-1 rout of the Rockies as Gerrit Cole struck out 12 in six innings. Houston's lead in the AL West back up to two games on Oakland.
Swung on a club hanging deep to right field. Back on to Piscotty. He looks up. It is gone! D. Gordon, a two-run home run, has broken the scoreless tie here in the 12th inning.
Gary Hill called it. Mariners Radio Network, Seattle winning it 2-0. The Dodgers got a walk-off sack fly from Brian Dozier in the 12th, beating the Giants 4-3. Angels over the Padres 3-2. The Rays topped the Yankees in New York 6-1. Aaron Judge getting a cortisone shot in his fractured wrist. He's going to be out longer than the original three-week timeline. He was hit by a pitch on July 26th. Jaguars corner Jalen Ramsey going after a bunch of quarterbacks. In an article for GQ, he called Ben Roethlisberger decent at best, Matt Ryan overrated, Bills rookie Josh Allen called him trash. That's what Ramsey said, just to name a few of the insults he threw at quarterbacks. Ramsey actually suspended for the week by Jacksonville for yelling at reporters. In a college football note, TCU defensive lineman Ross Blacklock reportedly going to miss the season with an Achilles injury. He was the co-Big 12 defensive freshman of the year. Guys?
All right, Brad, thank you very much. 855-212-4227. So, interesting when we kicked off the program talking about Jalen Ramsey. And yes, the other big story this morning, Ronald Acuna Jr., who, as we articulated yesterday, on absolute complete fire for the Atlanta Braves. I mean, yep, 20 years of age, had homered in eight straight games, or had homered in five straight games, eight home runs over the course of eight games, 16 hits in the course of eight games, had been setting record after record for a kid of his age, a young man of his age, I should say, at 20 years old, to be accomplishing what he was accomplishing offensively. And then you get to the game last night between the Marlins and the Atlanta Braves, in which Urania, the starter for the Miami Marlins, is on the mound, and Acuna Jr. leading off for the Atlanta Braves, and he hits him.
Yeah, yeah, I saw it. I don't know if you saw it live. I was actually watching the game.
I did see. Yeah. I did see the afterward. Right. Yeah. I saw it. I did not see him get hit live, but right after he got hit, I saw it right.
It
then
was really
after.
Weird. I happened to flip on the channel.
Yes.
And they would. It just happened. Like, I was like, wow, this is crazy timing. And you could tell right away it was going to escalate like quick. Listen, it was. He did not. Urania did not even try to hide the fact he threw right at him. I mean,
no.
So no one could say he didn't mean it.
No,
he threw the ball right at him, and dude hit him on the elbow, and it was quick and nasty.
It was quick and it was nasty. Here is Urania on the ejection.
I feel pretty bad because the thing, like, you know, the people get upset and things like that. You know, but I get upset too because how I go away 5 days for just go out there and make one pitch and get kicked out of the game? That don't make sense, right? Always I throw inside.
Well, you know, oh, who did he say? Always I throw inside?
He always throws inside. Well, and, you know, now I'm going to be gone for 5 days for not my sins.
Right, right.
Well, you throw the guy.
Him back. We've seen that.
But he threw it right at him.
I mean,
there's an idea of brushing him back, making him move his feet, making him uncomfortable in the batter's box, a little old school baseball. I get all that. And Acuna, I don't think he tried to hit him in the elbow. Acuna was trying to protect himself and moved his elbow in front of the baseball.
Correct. Right. Correct. I think he was trying to hit him in the body, hit him in the rib area, something like that, just hit him in his. He definitely wasn't trying to throw at his head. I mean, which is
good. No, he was not trying to do that.
And you know what he did was wrong. And look, as you know, Moose, these pitchers, these guys, their accuracy is like, they want to hit you with the ball.
Yes,
they'll hit you with the ball, and they'll hit you just about anywhere they want to hit you with the ball if they really want to. I think because it was like no pun intended, no warming up in the bullpen here, right out of the box, first pitch. Literally in the box, throws it right at the kid. I think if you would have waited a couple of pitches, then done it, maybe been a little calmer.
Maybe it'll be a little easier.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe.
But if you drill him in the rear end, if he doesn't look hurt afterward, and even where he threw it, Taz, say he doesn't put his elbow down, he drills him in the ribs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to. He's a 97-mile-hour fastball.
That hurts. Like,
that's gonna
like
absolutely
hell.
Kill.
Oh my God, dude,
I mean, so it's a case of either you hit him, either you do it the right way or don't do it at all. Drill him in the rear end.
Yeah.
You drill him in the rear end. Yeah. Away you go. He walks up the first baseline. He gets it. He understands
it. He's pissed
it.
Off and all that.
But
that's fine.
But
I
don't think it gets to the point that it got last night because the Braves are looking at it where Acuna is getting hit in the elbow.
Right.
And the style fashion which he did. And then they're concerned about where his health is going to be the rest of the year for an Atlanta team that's having a great year.
Came out of the game in a second.
Couldn't continue.
So while it was almost a big fist fight, the trainer was dealing with Acuna who's sitting on his butt in pain. That kid was in pain, like real pain. But you make a great point. I mean, you know, which I think a lot of people are missing. It wasn't like, and not that I'm defending the pitcher from the Marlins, but it wasn't like Urena meant to hit him in the elbow. He Acuna, was trying to protect himself.
He was.
So that's a good point, and that's exactly what happened.
Here is Don Mattingly, the Marlins manager, on Urena and what transpired last night.
If you watch Jose pitch, pretty much every first pitch of every game is pretty much there. And we talked to Jose right after the game, and basically he's saying he know the guy's been swinging the bat good. And he's trying to get one close. You know, he's wanting to run it off in there, and that was the purpose of his pitch. For us, he's beat us up, but the way to this is not the way we want to handle that situation. Obviously, this is not something that we represent or believe in as an organization, or myself too, because I would never want that kid getting hit and cause that kind of problem.
Wow, he didn't really. I was, when I first heard that sound, I was a little surprised because Mattingly, I don't know why, but I kind of thought, like you see in the NFL, most of the times the coaches will take up for their players. They'll take the shot on the chin for their players. He didn't do that, Mattingly. He basically said this was on Urena, and he did this on his own, more
right,
or less.
Right, but he also made it clear, he's like, that was not his intent. He was trying to throw the ball inside. Yeah. So he did not say that. Listen, anyway, you watch the video. As Taz pointed out, Urania's got, you know, decent enough location and control. He knows where that baseball's going.
Oh, yeah.
And if you watch it, he's winding up. He's looking to drill Ronald Acuña Jr. I don't care what Mattingly has to say. I'm not telling you that Mattingly ordered it because I do believe what Donnie had to say there, that he does not believe in that, or does the Marlins organization believe in that, in terms of hitting a player who is on fire, the fact that you can't get him out. But Mattingly did as best as he could to walk the PC line for the Marlins so he could protect his player to an extent, but also send the messages that's not what we're about.
Yeah, and I respect that. I get it. But I understand how, you know, and I'm a fan of the old school baseball way at times, and they wanted to cool the kid off. I mean, they meaning the pitcher, Urena. He wanted to cool off Acuña. Okay, this kid's been just hitting dingers. First at bat, first inning, bing, 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 as we talked about. He's setting records. The kid's on fire. And this pitcher felt like you need to be cooled off. I don't have a gigantic – I don't know. I want to see what you think, if you have a huge problem with it. I don't have a huge problem with it. If he went at his head or his chin or his face, I'd have a massive problem with it. If you're going towards the body – and again, like I said, I think you make a great point that the kid was trying to defend himself. That's why he got hit on the elbow, and that ball jumped off his elbow, so you know that hurt like hell.
Oh.
But I don't have a problem with it that much. I really don't. I think it's part of the game. I mean, anybody who's been watching baseball for a long time, these guys have their own little weird little code. You know, they do. They have their own little code of respect and conduct. Some might not agree with it, but
I thought it was – and I get it. To play to your point, Taz, and someone who agrees with you is a legendary Cardinal and Met, Keith Hernandez, last night on SNY.
Yeah. You got a guy out there killing you. You've lost three games.
Right.
He's hit three home runs. You got to hit him. I'm sorry. I mean, people are not going to like that. But, you know, you got to hit him, knock him down. At least, I mean, seriously knock him down if you don't hit him. And you never throw at anybody's head. You never throw it anybody's head or neck. You hit him in the back, you hit him in the fanny, and he goes to first base on whatever he wants to do. Now, Wayne, I'm not advocating hurting anybody. I've emphasized you never, there's never a reason to throw it from the neck above. You just don't do that.
Right.
Those headhunters are guys you hate, and you remember them, and you get a chance to get them, you go after them. That is, to me, is a taboo. That is a line drawn in the sand, and you don't knock someone down with the intent to hurt him. You're just sending a message. Hey, I'm not going to let you do this to me.
Yeah. I agree with everything a former guest on Taz and Moose, Keith Hernandez.
Exactly right.
He was a great guest.
Rumor
has it he felt this was his best guest spot.
That's true.
That's just what I kind of heard. I'm just saying.
I wouldn't be surprised.
You know, people, if you haven't heard that, you could go Taz and Moose and download the podcast of when Keith was a guest.
And Keith's book is a great book, and he's a great broadcaster and tells you like it is.
Plug Jones.
Taz, I get it. I get the old school. But isn't there a place to be? Isn't there a place where you say, all right, he's beating us. He's embarrassing us. Let's figure out a way of getting him out instead of trying to intimidate him in the batter's box?
He's tough to get out.
I know he's tough
problem.
To get out.
He's really
I know
good.
He's tough to get out.
He's tough to get out.
But that's not fair. That's not right. That doesn't mess up. So I'm going to hit somebody because I can't get him out?
Well,
Keith was getting destroyed last night on Twitter, and then he went ahead and go back and clarified. He's not talking about hurting somebody,
nor is anybody here this morning. No,
Taz defending it. Nobody's talking about hitting someone with the intent to injure. The point being is make a guy uncomfortable, move his feet, get him out of the batter's box, do something of that nature. And you've heard it time and time again over the course of the years. whether it be the Yankees, Red Sox, Torrey failed to do it with Manny Ramirez and David Ortiz. There have been guys that have not been, that message has never been sent, even after they've destroyed organizations. So I get it's the old school way. Doesn't necessarily mean I love it.
No, I'm like we were saying, I'm a little bit more on the side of what Keith and Hernandez were saying. I definitely am not advocating hurting anyone. Like we said earlier, do not throw anyone near the head and neck. I agree with Hernandez on that. I've seen my son when he played baseball in Little League get hit, a kid throwing the ball hard, and my kid got hit right in the cheek, and he had to be rushed to the hospital. So, you know, I lived this as a parent, seeing this, and it's not good. And nevertheless, guys throwing at this speed and size of major league players. But the only thing I have a problem with what the pitcher did with Urena did, once Acuña got hit on the elbow and he went down in pain and the ref called timeout, the ump called timeout, I should say. If you watch Urena, what he did, this is kind of what pissed off a lot of the Braves. He stared at him. He came off the hill.
Yeah.
And he came.
He stared him down.
He stared him down while the kid was in pain. That was a little cold blooded. I think you turn your back, walk away. I know he's trying to defend himself, so maybe Acuña.
Well, that shows you the intent.
It's too. Right. That's the problem. Right.
That's the other issue. When Urena after the game is saying, "I'm trying to throw inside," when he's saying,
"Shouldn't have stared him down like that."
Well, if you hit somebody by accident, or you hit somebody on purpose, your reaction as a pitcher are two completely different things.
Correct. Correct. That's
when
true.
You hit somebody by accident, all of a sudden you're like, you jump around.
Like, I messed up.
Right, I messed up. When you send a message, you're sitting there like, listen, I'm the man.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what he did. To the point where Urena, when the benches started to clear, he goes to the Braves bench with his out and basically
says, let's fight, let's go. Yeah,
he was...
I wonder if there's any Marlin fans out there. I bet you Marlin fans don't have a huge problem with this. That's, 855-212-4227.
Because we want to hear from you, basically. Do you believe in the old school way? Do you think if a guy's on fire, a guy's hitting you, destroying your team, is hitting him the right recoil? Do you think that's proper? Do you think that should happen? Do you have no issue with it? Or do you take issue, umbrage, with the very fact of what transpired last night? That if a guy's knocking you around, beating you up as an offensive player, as a hitter,
do you cool him off?
Yeah, right. Why don't you try and do something to come up with another game plan in order to get him out instead of trying to drill him?
And by the way, the Braves won the game 5-2.
They did.
So
they did.
Part, no one's even talking about that part, but the Braves did win the game. But and the poor kid, Acuña, he had to come out of the game in the second inning. So I didn't think he was going to make it stay in the game. The trainer spent so much time with him, and that kid was in a lot of pain. A
lot of pain.
Anybody that's been hit on the elbow, like funny bone, any little stupid stuff in your house, you bang into a cabinet in the kitchen or anything crazy, or in my case, have someone swing a steel chair at you hitting the elbow, okay, that's not normal.
Not normal.
But that's happened to me more than once, and it hurts like the dickens. So
I'm
I can
sure
imagine what this kid felt getting hit on the elbow.
855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. We want your reaction. It's Taz and the Moose with you as we roll right along here on this action-packed Thursday morning. Plenty to get into. We get it going. Two hot-button topics. The Jalen Ramsey comments, GQ Magazine, in which, for the most part, he takes out 50% of the quarterbacks in the National Football League. And Ronald Acuña Jr. getting drilled last night after being hot as a firecracker for the Atlanta Braves. Like it, hate it, love it. We want to hear from you. 855-212-4227. Taz Moose, Thursday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
You know, Moose, we were talking before the break about the situation last night with the Braves and the Marlins where the young, great player Acuña got drilled in the elbow by Urena. And, do you guys agree with it? People out there listen to us. Was it the right thing to do? Do you agree with myself kind of where it's like, hey, it's okay. It's old school. We didn't go after his head. Or do you agree with Moose where it's like, there's really no place for that. You heard the sound we played from the great Keith Hernandez, how he felt about it. So let's see what you guys think about it. Hey, Ricky in Alabama, you're on with Taz and the Moose on
CBS
Sports Radio. Ricky, Rick, what's up?
Well, good morning, Taz and the Moose.
Good morning, Ricky.
What's up, man?
What's going on, buddy?
Hey, look, first of all, as a retired coach of baseball and softball for 30 years, I don't have a problem with sending a message, even on the first pitch, but I have a problem the way he, as you guys have talked about and everyone else has talked about, his intention was, after he hit him, like you said, he stared him down, threw his glove down. He was ready to fight. Okay?
Yep.
That I have a problem with.
Yep, me too. Yeah.
And I've had pitchers to, and I'm going to admit it, I've had them to get their attention to look, go out there, set an example, let them know that they're, you're not going to do this to me. But a million other ways to do it, except in, besides the way that he did it. That's just my opinion.
And Ricky, I assume that you never had anybody go after someone's head, right, or the head neck area, right?
No, if any of my pitchers ever, unless it was, unless they made a mistake, because balls sometimes their hands get, sweaty.
It'll get away.
If a pitcher threw with their head, they were out of the game. They were done.
Mm.
That was not going to happen. I did not tolerate it. They knew it, and they wasn't going to do it.
Gotcha.
But he didn't throw in his head last night.
No, he did not throw in his head. But
Ricky,
he
thanks.
Can,
we appreciate it, man.
Right, Ricky, thanks a lot for the call. He can, they can defend his intention all they want after the game, whether you hear Mattingly or Urania himself. His reaction after drilling Acuña Jr. tells you all you need to know about his intention.
Right,
he intended to hit.
Yeah, he stared him down. Like
he stared him down.
Confrontational city.
He did not care that Acuña was in pain. He did not care in any way, shape, or form that he got hit in the elbow.
He didn't.
He was taunting the Braves dugout. He did not care.
He wanted
an altercation.
He wanted Acuña to come at him.
He did.
He wanted Acuña to come at him. Hey, let's go down to Miami. This should be interesting. Dr. Carter in Miami, you are on with Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Hey, I appreciate you guys. Taz loved you as a championship wrestler.
Thank you, buddy.
Moose. I first talked to you back when you were with Maggie Gray.
I remember.
And you, I will never forget. It was the funeral, the impending funeral of Ali. And I actually called in a contrarian point of view because, I told you how unfortunately his stance, during the Vietnam War affected my grandfather adversely because he returned from the war and was negatively affected by the actual stance that Ali took. And you guys were brave enough to take that call.
Well, we appreciate you calling us this morning, Doc.
Well, believe me, I'm very upset.
Okay.
This is why baseball is dying.
Mm.
This is why a person like me, I own 4 season tickets to all 4 major sports in Miami. I'm a corporate psychologist. My clients are gifted with tickets of all of the 4 major sports.
Okay.
I was a season ticket holder when the Marlins, after 2 championships, discarded the team.
Mm.
I witnessed what Jeter did to the heroes of that organization this past summer. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to cancel my tickets because I believe there's a vision there. There's going to be a culture there with Donnie Baseball and with Jeter bringing that Yankee way to this team that I want to believe is going to put this team on the right path for sustainability. But guess what, guys? When you have a Kobe Bryant going for 81 points, did you see a Nick trying to take this guy's knees out? Mm. When you had Michael Jordan, over his illustrious career, do the damage that he did to his opponents, 50, 60, 70 points, did he get intentionally fouled? Yes, during the bad boy years with the Pistons.
Yeah, but Dr., let me interrupt you, sir. But you have seen this, though, right? We have seen this, all of us. In the NFL, we see where, and in other sports too, basketball, to your point, maybe not so much. I agree with you on that. But we have seen it. It's a culture in baseball. It's kind of the old school way. We all know that, right?
And I'm so grateful that you allow me to reply to you. What I wanted to say is in football, when you have a receiver going over 200 yards, or you have a defensive end or an outside linebacker that has 3 or 4 sacks in a game, do I see an offensive tackle going for that guy's knees? Do I see for that running back who's over 220 yards for a game that middle linebacker intentionally going for his knees because he's showing the team up?
No, you don't.
In baseball,
right? But Doc, you look at it.
Thanks for the call, Doc. We appreciate it.
There's also a way of doing it where you move a guy's feet. Where you're not trying to hurt him. You're drawing the comparison where the deliberate injury or the deliberate way to try and hurt an individual. Kobe Bryant, I get the point that you're making. If you are a great basketball player and you are torching another team and you've got 60 points on the night, is the other team all of a sudden now going to steamroll you when you're coming up the court and try and get you off the court?
Right.
No, but there was a time in the NBA, Taz, that before now they took the physicality out of the game, no layups defense, where guys got knocked on the rear end when they were going to the rim.
And in the NFL, I remember there's video. Any real NFL fan that followed football back in the 80s and 70s even, Jack Lambert, the great linebacker for the Pittsburgh Steelers, one of the greatest of all time, who was not a friendly fella, okay? There's a video of him with audio. He was mic'd up where he, I can't remember the running back's name. He jacks this dude up, lifts him, literally slams him on the ground like a double leg takedown, slams him. Today it'd be a 15-yard penalty. And you hear me, points at him, he said, "That'll cool your ass off." Because whoever that running back was on fire, so he drove him into the ground, dude. I mean, this happens in the NFL a lot. I know, like, in lacrosse, like, I know a lot of people aren't lacrosse fans. If there's an attack or a midfielder that's on fire early on in the week, going into a game, the defense is kind of known. We got to put this guy in his ass right away.
Well, and how about like, in hockey?
Yeah,
where
same thing.
You could have guys get physical. The other guy's got too much space. Take the space away. Correct. Knock him around. Be physical with him.
You got to set the tone. You know what I mean? So, hey, Alan in Florida, you're on with Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Alan, how are you?
What's up, Alan?
Hey, I'm good. Big fan of the show, guys.
Thanks, Alan. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Basically, talking about Urena, I got no problem with what he did, but the only problem I got is how quick of a hook he got to get ejected. I mean, I thought you're supposed to hit a guy a couple times.
Right.
Or, you know, hit a guy intentionally in the head that is just blatantly obvious. I mean, as a pitcher, you're supposed to have the mindset, this is my mound. I'm not letting nobody, you know, take it from me. So he threw a pitch inside. It probably got away from him. Okay, big deal. It's part of baseball. I mean, at some point, they already took out catcher collisions. They already took out running into second base. You know, you can't slide hard in second base. They're taking baseball away from us. I mean, what do you guys think about that?
Well, I don't want to see baseball get soft. But I will say to you, Alan, Urena did not get ejected right away.
He did not. They reviewed it.
Right. And the Braves manager was going berserk. Okay, Alan, we appreciate the call. Then he ended up getting ejected.
Then they had a conversation. Then they got ejected. So he was not tossed initially.
But
right
I see
after
what Alan's saying, though. He does make a good point in regards to, but they did review it. So what are you going to do?
But Taz,
I
mean, if you don't throw him out, and then all of a sudden,
there'd be a fist fight in that game.
Then there would be a brawl.
And I got to tell you, this is
so you have to do something as an umpire to try and take that out of the equation. You are doing your job by throwing Urena out of the game. Right, you have to throw him out of the game.
Right. Well, you do.
You have to. I get the old school rule. Well, you're usually allowed to hit somebody. I get it. The style and fashion in which it went down, the fact that he's taunting the Braves dugout, and you can't keep him in the game. You just can't be.
That's right. And this is this is another topic I'm sure we'll have very soon here, but this is another reason why a lot of folks feel like the National League should not go DH. So let somebody's pitcher stand in a box while they got to get retaliation.
Right, but that's also
a different topic.
Right, but then you switch out. It's really for the most part the starting pitcher, because any kind of reliever, usually they're out of the game by the time their position in the batting order does come around.
Word. Philip in Alabama, you are on with Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Phil, what's up?
Hey, good morning, fellas. All right, so I'm a lifelong Braves fan, and I completely agree with being able to brush somebody off the plate. To cool them down, move their feet. One thing I do think, though, I think Urena would have definitely thrown at Acuna's head, but the only reason why he did not was in fear of being kicked out of the game immediately. So it was all intentional, and it was uncalled for. Another point I want to make is that you know, you got a guy on a tear like this, and this is one reason why it's so hard for Major League Baseball to not have that one superstar like the NFL or NBA, because you got somebody who can't get this guy out and then risking hurting him. You know,
I think that's a great point.
We thank you for the call, Phil.
Yeah, there is Steve Phillips sent out a tweet who's joined us before.
Yeah. Good
Taz. Said that the young talent in Major League Baseball now is off the charts. And he went through a list of basically 10 or 12 guys. So that's the issue you have. You're trying to develop superstars. Guy gets on fire. He's doing something historic. And then you drill him.
I know, but guys want to win.
I know they want to win,
get embarrassed.
Is that the right way to do it? Then figure out a way to get him out. Then put him on base. Don't stop giving up home runs.
Potentially walk him first batter. Imagine.
Well, continue with your calls. What do you think? How do you feel what transpired down in Atlanta last night? I want to hear from you. 855-212-4CBS. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.